Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of the Discipleship Foundations series. This is lesson 25 entitled Christ's Finished Work, Redemption from Sickness and Disease. Let me begin by reading 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. That's the New American Standard Bible. Physical healing is part of the gospel, and Jesus still heals people today. Isaiah 53 is one of the main passages that support this truth. In it, a parallel is made between Christ's bearing our sins and his carrying our sicknesses and pain. Physical healing is part of the atonement just as much as the forgiveness of sins. In the passages below, I put the Hebrew words in parentheses. So I want to try to read this in such a way that it will be clear to you. The first passage is Isaiah 53, verse 4. And all of this is from the New American Standard Bible. Surely our griefs, parentheses, koli, or sicknesses, he himself bore. The word bore is nasa, which means to lift, carry, or take. And our sorrows, Hebrew is makob, pains, he carried, Hebrew sabal, to bear a heavy load. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Next I'm going to read Isaiah 53, 11, and 12, which uses the same verbs, sabal and nasa, that we covered in the previous verse, but this time it's going to use it in reference to sin. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. And he will bear, this is sabal, to bear a heavy load, their iniquities. Now before this had been used of carrying our pains and sorrows. And then it says, verse 12, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will provide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore, and this is the Hebrew word nasa, to lift, carry, or take, the sin of many. And in the previous passage, nasa was used to describe carrying our sicknesses. And he interceded for the transgressors. So that's the end of verse 12. Both of those passages from New American Standard Bible, which is a very literal translation. The same Hebrew verbs are used to describe Christ's finished work on the cross regarding sickness and sin and pain and iniquities. It would be disingenuous for an interpreter to come to any other conclusion. Nevertheless, since translators, like we, have theological biases, in most versions of the Bible, we are fed a watered-down translation. Sickness becomes grief and pain becomes sorrow. Below is a translation that more accurately adheres to the literal meaning. Now, both of these translations are from the New English Translation, which is very literal as well, and is used as a basis for other translations. All right, so the first one is Isaiah 53:4, and here's how they translate these words. But he lifted up our illnesses, he carried our pain, even though we thought he was punished, attacked by God, and afflicted for something he had done. And now Isaiah 53, 11 and 12. Having suffered, he will reflect on his work. He will be satisfied when he understands what he has done. My servant will acquit many, for he carried their sins. And I will assign him a portion with the multitudes. He will divide the spoils of victory with the powerful, because he willingly submitted to death and was numbered with the rebels, when he lifted up the sin of many and intervened on behalf of the rebels. So in the first verse, he lifted up our illnesses and carried our pain. In the second passage, he carried our sins and lifted up our sins. Okay, let's move forward. Every Christian understands and believes that Jesus carried our sins to provide forgiveness and justification. But not everyone knows and believes that he also bore our sicknesses and pains so that we can experience healing for our minds and bodies. We should ask ourselves, how did the apostles view these verses? Fortunately for us, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the Bible gives us the answer. In Matthew's gospel, we are told clearly that physical healing is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. And I'm reading here Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried our diseases. That's the New American Standard Bible. If we hold to this truth, then we are left with the following questions. First, is healing for today? And secondly, is healing for everyone all the time? To answer the first question, we understand that the ministry of Christ continues today via the church, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. New Living Translation. The answer to the second question is more controversial. This is how I understand things. Healing is our birthright in the kingdom of God. Jesus paid for it. Therefore, it is always right and proper to ask God for healing and believe the word of God when it tells us, by his wounds you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. In other words, our faith for healing is based on Christ's finished work on the cross. We place our confidence in what Christ has already accomplished on our behalf, realizing that it is God's prerogative to apply that healing in his way and in his time. To better understand this point, consider that we are also given eternal life through Christ's finished work. And he told us that whoever believes in him will never die. That's found in John 11, 26. Nevertheless, although the Lord has the power to instantly translate us into his glory without our having to die, Philippians 3, 21, as he did with Enoch and Elijah, most of us are going to die a physical death. This does not nullify Christ's victory over death because the resurrection is God's final solution. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26 says, for he, Jesus, must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. New American Standard Bible. God's truth regarding Christ's victory over death has already been accomplished and paid in full, but it has not yet been fully manifested in history. Healing has been fully accomplished and paid too, but it has not been fully revealed or experienced yet. Healing comes in many ways. Sometimes it is an instantaneous healing akin to a miracle. At other times, it may be a gradual matter. Some die of a sickness or disease while believing that God is their healer. In this last case, healing for them will not come until the resurrection, when all things will be set right. Hebrews 11:13 reads, "All these died in faith without having received the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." New American Standard Bible. It is very important for us to believe and confess the truth of God's word regardless of the circumstances, and not become offended if things fail to materialize as we hope. God is glorified when his people trust in him despite encountering and enduring what seems to contradict his promises. As Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Physical death is not the end of the story. The resurrection will be the grand finale. That is where faith will be rewarded in full, even if we fail to receive here on earth that for which we are trusting God. For now, we choose to maintain a positive confession of faith that agrees with what God's word teaches, regardless of our personal experience. We do not pretend that we are not sick when we are, in order to maintain a, quote, good confession. That is denial. Instead, we can say, "I am sick, but I am trusting that through Christ I have been healed, and have the promise of experiencing that healing in God's timing." An important part to having overcoming faith during sickness is to ask God to give us a personal or rhema word from Scripture. This is when God quickens or makes a portion of the Bible come alive to us, so that we understand that the promise is specifically for us at this time. This is very personal and subjective, but it is real. This provides us with a firm ground of faith upon which to stand for a healing in the here and now. In lieu of such a rhema word, we simply stand upon what the Scriptures in general tell us. By his stripes, we were healed. As members of the body of Christ, we have the privilege of extending Christ's victory over sickness to others. Healing is part of God's means to authenticate the gospel to unbelievers and is part of his mercy ministry to mankind. God not only intends that we learn to appropriate this wonderful gift for ourselves, but he wants us to share it with others who so desperately need it. As Christians, we can proclaim healing in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit's job to provide the power that backs up the authority we have in Christ. Never shy away from praying for others to be healed. Doing so provides God with an opportunity to demonstrate that he is real. Let me conclude by quoting two passages from the New Living Translation. The first is Matthew 10:7-8. "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received." The second passage is Mark 16:17-18. "These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them." God bless you, and thanks for listening today.